Greetings from Earth, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be here. So glad to be here. All right, let's get the ball rolling with a little rambling here. Let's talk about ghosts and people you know. Sorry, I wasn't expecting that, but I couldn't resist it. We're talking about people you know. On the other side, on the astral plane, where do we go from here? Go from here. Well, as far as I can gather from reading hundreds of the works of the best gurus out there and all the occult literature and meditating and having my own experiences and doing many experiments and much sharing with others about this, soaked up everything there was to know about it. And now, for the most part, can perceive it at will. All you have to do is kind of flip open the switch and say you're open for it, and it'll come. I've been talking to people recently. It seems like a topic that comes up again and again because it's something that everybody faces. Everybody loses someone they love somewhere along the way. And the prevailing way of looking at death in this society, like it's an end, and then you kind of sum up the person and write them off. That's a very limiting concept. It isn't really that way. You know, that's just a way we've become accustomed to dealing. It's tied in to religion and our phobias, things that humanity still has a hard time talking in the open about, making love and dying, kind of the edges, the frontiers of human experience, ways of tuning into the divine energy. Meditation is another way, and one that you can practice and develop for yourself so you can experience and know what it's like on the astral plane. Then you'll have no fear. Then you'll have no fear. Welcome to the show. This is Christopher Morris talking to you, coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. It is nearing the end of July. It's been a little while since I've done a show. Mostly been enjoying the summer and working hard and getting my trumpet chops into killer shape. I've had many nice moments this summer sharing with family and friends and connecting and coming down to earth, being here and present, coming to accept the moment as it is, enjoying peace, watching what goes on around me, what goes on within me, and open to perceptions that transcend the five senses. This is something that is always a good thing to cover again and again about the five senses, our five windows of body perception that interpret the external world around us. Of course, the eyes, the ears, the nose, smell, you know, sniff, and taste and touch. These are so tied in with the body, and they each perceive but a slice of what there is out there. As we know, the visual spectrum turns into infrared on the low end and ultraviolet and beyond on the high end. And we see within a certain range of that, but that's not all there is. So even our five senses only perceive a slice of a continuum. Then it becomes an image in the brain, and then we identify with that image in the brain. Now, with the eye of awareness and your spiritual eye, your third eye, the eye that looks inward, when it is open and watching, reflecting, not interpreting or thinking about, simply observing, soaking in, but also centered within itself, content and inwardly untouchable. We are able to reflect many things and see many things, such as entities on the astral plane. We have to merely think about somebody who is on the other side. First of all, let's kind of get that out there. Let's think about this now. Someone who's passed away that you may have loved. Let's not think about them in the past. Think about them in the present, because they still exist. It isn't that different on the astral plane. Many of the things that we're used to here are there. It's just very fluid, very quick. A little easier, you know, it's made of the stuff dreams are made of, light and dancing forms. But you can still really densify there sometimes if you'd like, and still have many experiences with good entities and maybe some not so good entities, some shady characters, because they're there too. There's houses and bars and parties and all kinds of things there as well. Concerts, you know, pianos, escalators, elevators, trains. How many of these have we experienced in our dreams? Roaming through the garden, frolicking with animals, swimming in a swimming hole. Maybe there's certain places that when you dream about, they come up again and again. There are places like that for me. One of my grandfather's houses, I've had many different kinds of dreams take place out there. You know, I've returned again and again to this kind of astral super mall of where so many people are bustling through back and forth and around, and you encounter just about anyone you might imagine, someone you hadn't seen for three lifetimes, or someone you saw you used to love, or somebody you're thinking about. And these are real experiences. Think about it, because you're having that. It's as if you're fully living that experience while you're having that in your dream state. And even when you wake to the physical world, you remember it. And you feel like something happened because something did happen. And it's the same way as we go into the dream state and have these experiences, which are very real. When we leave our body, we're just moving into the astral, which is just out of sight, just beyond the third dimensional frequency. And we, through our own meditation and vibration, can raise up into that area. And especially if somebody from that area wants to also come down and meet us, it will be very easy to connect with just about anybody you can think of. Once you figure this out and are able to have this occult power, just take it easy, you know. There's all you could connect with very powerful spirits that might then try to influence you in some way. This would be a good time for a song break. You're listening to Creative Cosmos Radio Show, currently located in Urbana, Illinois. Glad to speak with you today and every day. This show takes place in eternity amidst the stars. We are here but for a short time on the planet Earth. And while we have the opportunity, let's say a few things and sing a few things. And here's the first song for today. It's a new little whimsical song I wrote, kind of in honor of Paul McCartney and some of his fun, simple little tunes. It is called What If the Sky Was Blue. See you in a moment, everyone.
What if the sky was blue? What if the sky was blue? What if the sky was blue? Here we go. What if the sky was blue? What if the sky was blue? What would you do? What if the sky was you? What if the sky was you? Would you smile? Would you frown? Would you turn your head What if the sky was blue?
Greetings from Earth once more, folks. It is Christopher Moores, your friend in the universe, the cosmic creature who is set forth upon the Earth to express from the heart, be it art, music, writing, websites, you name it. I try to bring it out as a form which can perhaps one day help somebody, even just a little bit, to become awakened or to feel that there is somebody else that understands what they're going through. It's not always easy on the path of awakening and centering and etc., etc., etc. In fact, sometimes it can be kind of crazy. Sometimes it can just get downright crazy, if you know what I mean. Sometimes it can just get downright crazy. You never know what life is going to dish up. So while you're here, you might as well leave some record, some trace, some bit of good for your fellow human race. We are but blades of grass upon the face of the earth. Directly in contact with the sun in a solar system with a history beyond what we usually think of. Different entities around different planets have different experiences, different dimensions.
Amen.
Yes, you are listening to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. And I am Christopher Moores, your friend in the cosmos, the creative cosmos, a place full of life, of many vibrations. It's vast, ever-changing, and I, for one, am glad to be a part of it. Thank you if you're listening to this, and thank you to all my regular supporters for the website. Every time I get an email or a posting or something about the writing or the art or that it's done something for somebody, It, for one, makes me feel great because that completes the cycle. You know, I offer these different expressions out there, different ways of encoding my own spiritual experience and knowledge. Then if somebody says it's moved them in some way or has touched them in some way or opened their eyes in some way, then that opens me up and keeps the flow moving. Because really what happens is I psychically tune in to everybody I feel is going to come and eventually read it. So like when I'm writing something, I'm open, I'm channeling inspiration, it's flowing through, but I'm also flowing towards the people who will read it one day. Or will enjoy looking at the picture one day, or listening to the song one day. And it's also the way an artist gets their immortality. You know, it's not, it won't last forever and ever, but in this way, like the actual artifact itself, like let's say I write a tune that's really good and people really enjoy it. Well, that might well outlive me and continue to influence and change lives after I'm gone. Look at John Lennon. He continues to inspire people very much to this day. Maybe in 1,000 years' time, a couple thousand years, even 10,000 years' time, even the best songs might fade into the background. And then one day, they'll just kind of fade away. But all the people who were touched, who were changed, who got something from that song along the way, they will continue to carry that with them eternally. That's the part of the song that lasts forever. That part of yourself that you shared that then moved another and even just a little bit maybe altered their whole life course, which had an impact on every single event that followed. Also, each transforming work of art will become part of the cumulative effect that eventually awakens the sleepy dreamers. That's why the absurd comes into play, the odd, the different, because it often causes somebody to stop, to pause and look at it. And even if they say, oh, that's kind of strange or that's kind of weird, it still causes them to stop. Because one of the trickiest things is that people out there still really identified with the mind and with their body apparatus, they're walking around buzzing in their head, thinking about this, thinking about that, 25, 25, 25, 30, 30, what happened yesterday, oh shit, I gotta do something later on today, 30, 30, who give me 30 here, worries, and anyway, that goes on and on and on in their head. Some of it is habit, and it becomes really deeply ingrained in the brain. And then that becomes the subset of parameters that they operate their whole life under. That's why meditation is so important. And that's why it is truly the magical cure for what ails the Western culture. Because they've got a lot of great things going for it, but meditation hasn't been on the landscape yet. And so not that many people have learned to get space from their mind and become at peace with the spiritual side of themselves. One reason for this is the all-pervasiveness of Christianity. It really does have a stranglehold on the Western culture. And one thing the internet's provided is a means for the free flow of ideas. You can't keep out. Well, maybe they're going to maybe try one day, but let's hope they can never keep out the flow of information, the sharing of the collective human experience. At this point, it would be foolish to hold on to one old perspective when we have all perspectives of all times available to assimilate, glean the knowledge and experience we can from it, and then transcend it and chart a new course with open eyes in the present, supported by that vast knowledge. Somewhere amidst all the history are many of the pieces of the puzzle which could make things work. Because obviously they aren't working now. And it's that old aggressiveness, that old way of just closing the door, protecting only you and yours, when you don't realize that you and yours is actually everybody, the human family upon the living planet Earth in the cosmos, which is our home. Luckily for us, it seems that nature has a way of springing forth within hearts so that they can again and again deliver this message. As Osho would say, the antidote to all poisons. Many would find it hard to just rest, to just be at rest, because they feel like there's so much to do. I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and I gotta take care of this, and I gotta take care of that. And if I'm not doing this, I'm not doing anything worthwhile, blah, 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 blah. But that's a mistaken notion. And considering yourself to be like the center of the universe, at least the center of your own universe, a huge shift occurs when you realize that you are a blade of grass. I keep using that analogy lately because it just illustrates that point so nicely, that, you know, you aren't the center of everything that goes on, and everybody around you is not thinking about you, and everything out there is not plotting against you. It's really freeing and relieving to realize that you're part of an organic whole. And also, all the problems and all the things going wrong with the world are not your responsibility alone. For a while, I felt like I was so alone in the expression of metaphysics and the truth-related material of the Eastern wisdom traditions that I felt like I was going to have to do it all myself. Boy, what a happy day to realize that there are other people doing this as well, and that if we all do simply what is natural to us, what is our inborn potential, that all the problems will solve themselves. If we live our nature, the problems will solve themselves. And one thing I've realized is that we are bringing this consciousness, this soul perspective into the body, that we all have the potential to do that, but if we close the door with a relentless buzzing of mind, blah, 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 like we talked about earlier, always thinking about things, I gotta do this and that and the other thing, and blah, 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 blah. If that's always going on, we've got no way to perceive anything more. And another point is some of what fuels that relentless buzzing is emotional pain. The part of ourself that we haven't recovered yet. Pieces lost in space from the pain of the past. So as we become aware, we need to bring our eye of awareness, our reflective vision, which transcends personal self, to our whole life, the whole life we've lived in this body. And then once we've recovered and healed and released through tears, through poetry, through anger, through expression, through intensity, through whatever we have to do to get that out of ourselves and make room for the spirit to come into the body, then the flow will be able to start to illuminate us. And we will still have access to all the information in the brain. But now we are the master, not ruled by the body mechanism.
Are we born once? Are we born twice? Is it my imagination? Are we born once? Are we born twice? Is it my imagination? Is it a big surprise? Or is it a happy ending? I really wanna know, so I can go away. Oh, you better think twice before you go on blaming. And you better think twice before you keep on gaming. You're playing with souls, you're playing with fire. Not getting higher until you fly. So high beyond it all. Upon opening my eyes, I learned what's in front of me, all around. It's in the sound, it's in the ground, it's in me.
So much to talk about, and I'm sure some of you are waiting to hear more about the ghosts and how to interact with them. So I'm going to tell you some more. I'm going to lay it all out, exactly how you can do it. Here we go, here we go, here we go. First thing to do is to raise your own vibration. Do that with the Om meditation, one of the greatest of all times. Can't go wrong with it. Can't be messed up. And it's guaranteed to work every time. The only thing you have to do is do it. I'm telling you, that's all you got to do. If you're listening to this, you know, all the people that do these shows, they don't, you know, they might say this or that or whatever, but, you know, you got to get people's attention and say, hey, man, you just got to do it. You know, being a musician, I learned that for sure. You know, you have to play. You have to be involved. And meditation is much like it. That's one thing I've discovered about myself is that my way is a balance between music and meditation in a way that encompasses much of what I do on Creative Cosmos. Because even what I speak, when I speak like I do right now, or when I'm trying to catch a flow and describe something, I speak musically. That's music. My visual art, that too is a kind of music. Even now, as I'm expressing this to you on the air, I'm realizing more than ever that all of my creativity springs forth from music. One of the deepest, if not the deepest, aspect of who I am and what I'm here to do. That music you heard just a little while ago was a tune I did spontaneously about 3 years ago called Are We Born Once or Twice? I could have continued it, or thrice, or twice. Really, we have many, many lifetimes. It's a point to bring up briefly. Is first you open up to the possibility that you did indeed have past lives. And then you'll be able to see the signs all over the place. They'll start bubbling up. As I was talking about earlier about bringing awareness to this lifetime and all that happened in this lifetime, once you clear that space out and once you're no longer dominated by the buzz of the mind, that's how I'm going to refer to it from now on. The buzz of the mind. Because you know exactly what I mean. Once you're free of the buzz of the mind and have space given to you by the witnessing consciousness, reflective awareness, then you start to sink into your astral body and are able to receive telepathic communications, auric imprints, what Robert Monroe calls rotes, where someone can throw you a body of information and then you decode it almost all at once. You just go right over, blah, 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 blah. It's like reading a whole book, but at hyper speed. It's like if you have a story that you want to tell me and you don't want to go through all the details, or you have a whole bunch of information that you need to give me, sometimes it's easier to just throw it into a ball of energy and zip it over. Then I catch it. I can hold on to it if I want. I could do it later. You know, oftentimes my astral body gets these messages for people around me, and I carry them around until I see them. And when I start talking to them, then I say, oh, yeah, I picked this up for you the other day. Or, oh, yeah, I got this for you last night. Or this entity dropped in and wanted to make sure you remember this or that, or, you know, those kinds of things. So then you'll begin to get your own past life memories back if you get that far in your own meditation. And you'll be able to start to see it in others. Maybe all of a sudden you'll realize your friend was, you know, it started looking like taking on a certain kind of characteristic, and you might realize they were a knight in the Middle Ages. Or some of the people I know, like my mother, I sometimes tell her that I pick up this fact that she was a nun in a past life. You know, she's a very caring person and wants to help people and always sacrificing, you know, herself to try to help other people. And, you know, I could see it very clearly. Actually, her... that whole side of my family through my mother, there's many caregivers and public servants there. That must be just part of the family's vibration. Then on my father's side are musicians. And it kind of makes sense that my way would be take a healing role involved with music and meditation. There you have it. I just... told you part of my own metaphysical makeup. But all these kind of things, you start popping into your consciousness once you are not drowning it out with or as David calls the David Icke calls the tape loop, you know, the loop in your mind that keeps originality out. Also, you'll be able to see life everywhere, the brilliance of life everywhere, the living earth, you know, in every tree, in every breeze, in every bird's song, in yourself. You'll constantly feel these refreshing flows of astral energy. Just as the breeze blows through the trees, so too do you get the breeze of consciousness blowing through your being to make you fresh as a summer afternoon towards the end of July. Just like today. Just like now. Oh, it's good to be back on air, folks. It's been a little bit of a break here. I haven't been on for a little over a month. I've had all sorts of things just in the physical world to do. Taking care of myself and taking care of my family and friends and visiting and collecting my energies. You know, we kind of ebb and flow between periods of externalization and introspection. You know, I had a very massive period of externalization for a number of years, so it's been a little bit of introspection and a rejuvenation going on lately, and things are going good, feeling good, flowing well. Happy to be here. And as always, you know, stop by the website and stay in touch. CreativeCosmos.org. CreativeCosmos.org. And there's many resources if you like the topics we talk about on the radio show. Or, you know, there's all kinds of articles and images and posts and links to check out. So stop on by. CreativeCosmos.org. You're listening to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. This is Christopher Moore. So, to speak with the dead, we do some kind of energy raising vibration, like the Om meditation, or just as I was just doing, utter some kind of vocal sound and just get the vibration moving through your whole body. Om. Just let it rattle the insides of your body. Feel the vibrations washing over your whole physical body and then out into your aura. Imagine your aura becoming invigorated as you are. Now, this is a great little meditation to do anytime. You got 5-10 minutes. You're driving in the car. It's one of my favorites. I'll come back to it again and again. Just so powerful. And like I say, all you got to do is do it. And you also let that vibration go up into your brain and rattle your brain and just pulse through your brain. It'll help loosen the hold of those old, deeply ingrained habits so that your synapses can become subtle once again and reach to the space even as a tree reaches to the sun and the sky. And then wisdom can rain down. So first we raise our vibration, then we hold in our heart and mind images of the one we love, actually radiate it out with your intent, call them with your intent, whoever you'd like to speak to. And just over the course of a day, you know, even the later part of a day, from afternoon to nighttime, hold them in your mind and think of them. And that should draw them near. And then, if you're aware, you might be able to receive a response while you're awake. And some of you will receive a response from the dream state, as we mentioned towards the beginning of this show. You'll hang out with them on the dream plane. Now, let's figure out some ways now to recognize when a spirit's trying to get a hold of us, because that also is one of the obstacles to realizing and completing the circle of communication, is that we have to be able to recognize the signs of when they're trying to get a hold of us. They can't necessarily just, you know, send you an email. Although it wouldn't be unprecedented, I bet someone out there has gotten a spirit email somehow. But here's an instance just a couple nights ago. I was working on the website, actually, creativecosmos.org. I was typing a little something, the scrolling banner that says, "Even now as you read this, there are ghosts around you." And no sooner did I type that than my TV started flashing on, and my cable box, all the grooves where the numbers appear and the digital numbers appear, all those were lit up in a kind of a mid-range, kind of a pulsing energy. And then my aura got this big impact upon it, and it was one of the most intense ghostly encounters, just so obvious, so clear, that I just actually got blown right out of the room. I went into the other room and I was like, "All right, man, whoever you are, just chill out here. You know, you don't have to get so intense." I didn't quite recognize it to be someone I knew offhand, but was certainly an unmistakable presence. Another thing that can happen is, let's say you're just hanging around and for some reason you just start thinking about somebody who's passed over. You know, like it's happened to me. I have two grandfathers that have passed onto the astral plane. But I've contacted them both many times because I think about them and I'm open to it and I recognize the signs, which then cultivates it more and more, and pretty soon it's just a normal part of your life, just like you talk to me. But you just learn the language, you learn the means to do it. So like one time I was sitting on the couch and there were people there, and I was talking about something, but then I started talking about my grandfather, one of them, and then all of a sudden I felt like this emotional overlay over my energy, and I just started crying and crying and crying, and I realized that it was actually him there behind me with his energy expressing his love and feeling and vibration, that he was around me and that he still looks out for me and that still loves me now in the present. This relationship continues. We're not lost. We don't have to be brokenhearted. We don't have to suffer horribly. You know, as far as I can tell, the Native Americans in North America, they viewed it this way. You know, I think there are many things. See, some of this, what of the work I'm trying to do now, and many people are trying to do, of bringing some of these ancient traditions into Western culture and updating them for modern times so that people can benefit from them. You know, some of this would have happened if we would have been more open to the ways of the people on the continent when the colonists came over here. You know, they've, instead of being open and sharing not just like goods, but philosophies, ways of life, friendship, instead they came over just hardcore hell-bent on their own ways and of cutting those ways into the land, and nobody else could tell them anything. You know, we've got to watch that. That can never be our perspective. You know, they missed out on all this. We could have a thriving utopia. Perhaps America could have been, you know, the shining city on the hill if we would have been able to know some of these grander perspectives, some of these cosmic perspectives. You know, I know that from what I've gathered, the Native Americans looked at themselves cosmically, and some of them felt that their origins were in the stars, and they had the concept of ancestors, of where they felt they needed the wisdom of one of their elders who is no longer there. They would try to reach them, and they have a method of doing it. You know, sometimes maybe you take a psychedelic or something. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It helps grease the wheel a little bit. Or if you're a newbie into the realm of extra sensory perception or psychic ways. And it's really a part of any shamanic initiation would be to take some kind of psychedelic, be it mushrooms or peyote or LSD, or, you know, they aren't the end unto themselves, but they are means to give you a look to the other side, to open your energy centers or to loosen things up a bit. You know, they, one of the things that's helpful about what they do is they break down that old psychology, that rigid imprisonation of your mind over your being. You know, sure, sometimes it's scary as hell, and sometimes things are way out of control. but that doesn't mean that it doesn't give us something or doesn't open any doors, because it does. It definitely does. But yeah, the Indians had a concept of ancestor, that the people who had gone were still a part of their life. And I like that. And that's the way I look at it. When I contact one of my grandfathers, I look at it the same way. I'm contacting an ancestor, an elder, to share their wisdom. You know, not only will they be the person they were on Earth, but they'll have the additional experience of having gone to the other side and be free of many of the encumbrances which come with the physical body. You know, there are some smaller ways beings can contact with you. You know, one famous way is to leave coins, or I've talked to people who's had a picture fall off the wall. One of my old trumpet teachers who passed, I think, communicated that way, knocked painting off the wall. Specifically tied into him, which everyone would know and understand. You know, doors will move, so you'll feel somebody whisk through the room, you know. And what happens inside yourself, if you're, again, not bound by the buzz of mind, is your mind will form around these beings. They'll be able to draw upon your mental lexicon to communicate to you in your language. You know, they might evoke a memory that you shared with that person as a means for you to realize, so-and-so is here, and they're talking to me now. You know, you'll suddenly remember them. You'll not just in a distant kind of a way, but in a very real kind of a way, a very present, and you'll see how it still affects your life now. That's a sign that someone is around and sending their energy to you. Well, we can talk much more on this in the future, and we will. You know, I'll go over it many times. I'll go over all the things many times so that I can encode it over and over in different ways so that it will speak to more and more people. Phrasing it one way might trigger one person, and phrasing it another might trigger another. A picture might work. A song might work. A finely coined phrase might work. You never know what'll work. And so we'll go on and on and on. Thank you for joining me today and every day in your support of the site creativecosmos.org and the work that I do. And especially for your friendship. Many of you, as I say, I get letters, and each letter or comment or participation in what I do really lifts me up and helps me to continue to be inspired and just makes me feel good as a person. So I thank you, and hope you have a great day.
Human, so we.